numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live back at her home at the D here. Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Merry Christmas to all. Statute of limitations on Merry Christmas?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was just going to ask you.
Am I allowed to still say that?
Yeah. Merry Christmas to everyone out there, and this will likely be the last time we ever say it.
All right. Happy New Year begins tomorrow?
No, that's way too early.
It's the 27th tomorrow.
I'm going to say
way too early?
You could still always use the best
happy holidays,
right? Because that applies to everybody based on religion, whatever, and throws in New Year's.
Knows that better than a tribesman.
Right. So we are in the key happy holidays days.
But if you could say
Merry Christmas today, I'm going to allow a Happy New Year on Friday.
All right. I didn't mean to spend 2 hours on it, but I was just looking for clarification. Thank you.
Hey, you wanted an answer. Give me an answer.
You did. Very thorough, I must admit. On the show today, happy holidays to all. Hope your Christmas was great. Hope you got everything you wanted. I've never seen the casinos this crowded in my life. So there's that. And what a day of football, which we'll get into momentarily on the show today. Among other guests, Pete Futak on the college football bowl season. We've got 3 bowl games today. We'll talk to Pete, get his thoughts on that. Kelly and I will talk power rankings. We'll talk yes-no playoffs in the National Football League. Drew Dinsick will join us momentarily to talk NFL Week 17 and what we just saw here this past weekend, which is where we begin, sir, which is where we begin. And we will begin with the last game yesterday, of course, what some people believe is a preview of the Super Bowl, and I'm not so sure after that game you don't think it's a preview of the Super Bowl. The Ravens go into Santa Clara and beat the Niners 33-19. They do so as 6.5-point dogs, plus 250 money line shot on the Ravens, who bravo to the Baltimore Ravens, who looked great. A great game plan from John Harbaugh, dinking on offense, getting Zay Flowers involved with the absence of Keaton Mitchell. Zay Flowers becomes your big playmaker, and they really stepped that up. He was great. But just an all-around great performance by the Ravens. And, yes, Brock Purdy, MVP tickets. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
From a minus 250 favorite before this game, 4 interceptions later. And, by the way, listen, it doesn't matter in the wash if 2 of them were batted in the air and 1 of them was when he was hit. No one's gonna fixate on those details.
Yeah.
It's 4 picks. And he goes from that to at DraftKings a 12-1 shot now behind Tua and Christian McCaffrey to win MVP. Now, let's not get crazy with that. Right, again, this is an awards market. Is he in someone's brain, if someone already had him as a minus 250 favorite, do they go to a 12-1 shot now? No. I would say that's probably off kilter. But the truth is, still, though, regardless of what number you'd put him at, Lamar Jackson becomes your guy now. Minus 160 after that performance yesterday from Lamar in victory, who is vying for his second MVP of his career. And he was spectacular yesterday, and he still makes plays that no one else in the NFL can make. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But as far as the football is concerned, I've had San Francisco power ranked 1. I had the Ravens power ranked 2 the whole time through. It was a big difference between the two teams. It ain't that big anymore. But I will say this, as bad as the Brock Purdy MVP thing went yesterday, my biggest takeaway from this is, and you're always thinking ahead with bets, does this set up beautifully for a San Francisco handicap should these two teams meet in the Super Bowl? And that was what I kept getting to yesterday, because I think the answer is yes. Because games take on identities, you know, individual games take on their own character. And yesterday, once the pick started, and again, it was an early pick that Hamilton intended for Debo in the end zone, was picked by Kyle Hamilton. That actually led to a San Francisco safety of Lamar Jackson and a 2-point lead at the beginning. The others were pass tipped up by Brandon Stevens, picked by Marlon Humphrey. That led to a 11-play, 53-yard drive for the Ravens that ended with Gus in from 2 on 4th and goal. Purdy was then had another pass batted in the air. He probably shouldn't have thrown it into coverage. Picked by Kyle Hamilton. That led to a field goal. And then later, hit as he throws, picked by Patrick Queen. And that led to a Lamar Dazay touchdown to put it 30-13 at that point in the game. So the last three led to Ravens scores. But I feel like a game like that sort of, again, it happens the way it happens. I don't think you're likely to get that same thing. Some people might argue differently. Some people might say, no, I actually think John Harbaugh completely outcoached Kyle Shanahan, and we're likely to see that again regardless of the individual circumstances of that game. But I think for me, as a guy who thinks the Niners still are the better football team in the end, despite the outcome of that one game, that it could, projecting forward, create a good Super Bowl betting opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, yeah, I guess I wasn't really thinking that far ahead yet, but this is, I mean, look, it was a very, very, like you said, a very, very impressive game by Baltimore Ravens. We talk about it often. There was four interceptions, right? And two of them were a little wacky. Like you said, with MVP,
no, doesn't they're still going to be,
it doesn't matter there.
Yeah.
But when you're actually trying to overall evaluate these teams, yes, there's a couple of tipped passes that went Baltimore's way, and that's a thing. But, you know, the Niners were outplayed. They were outplayed. They were outcoached. So with the interceptions, if they didn't have curbed, would it have mattered anyways? I don't really know. You know, we can't really say that. I really hope these two teams rematch, though, in the Super Bowl. I really do.
And by the way, I love the Ravens. I have known one of their practice squad members since he came out of the womb. I love this football team. They and John Harbaugh, just a reminder of how well coached the Ravens are. And so it lived up to the hype, I think, despite the fact that it went the way that it did in terms of, you know, the bevy of picks. It was a great football game, or certainly entertaining football game to watch. By the way, I thought the for those who had in games on San Francisco plus, you know, anywhere between like 7.5 to 10, mm-hmm. and the Niners getting it to first and goal at the 2, and then they got it to the 1, and then Sam Darnold, just when you think he's pretty good at football again, takes the sack.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was just luck box for the folks who had the other side of that on in game.
The one I can't stop thinking about when it comes to MVP, though, is, oh boy, I'm wondering if this gets messy this year with the 1 through 5.
Well, this is what I've been saying all the time, right? This is when we had Aaron Schatz on. This is what we've tried to focus on. The fact that, and we juxtapose it against comeback player of the year, which has a 1, 2, 3. And maybe the most interesting thing Schatz said a couple weeks ago, Aaron Schatz, from creator of Football Outsiders, the creator of DVOA, now at FTN, one of 50 voters for all these awards, is that, you know, with comeback player of the year, 1, 2, 3, DeMar Hamlin might be your number one, but if he's not, he's not on your ballot.
Right.
Which I think is a great point.
Right.
So you don't, that's why I was saying yesterday, DeMar Hamlin might be -475 and Joe Flacco might be 4-1, but in real life, in reality, we have no idea what it is.
Right, we have
based
no
on
idea.
That.
We have no idea.
But with MVP, because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it is splintered, and it's still splintered.
It's extremely splintered.
How many first place votes would Lamar actually get right now? How many seconds would he get? How many first would Brock get? How many seconds would Brock get? And then there's McCaffrey and Tua and all the others in the mix.
So can I tell you what's floating around in my mind? And I haven't thought about betting this guy seriously once before today.
And it's a point system, by the way.
Right, it's a point system. But because of that, I'm considering making a bet on Christian McCaffrey. And I know this is where it's 4-1. We're talking about that. I'm talking about a non-quarterback winning the MVP. But I think there is going to be, because it is so, I think it is so jumbled right now of who actually could be number one MVP, Gil.
Oh, wait a minute.
That there's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people that put Christian McCaffrey number two with a quarterback one. And after yesterday, with Brock Purdy falling, I think there's going to be more people willing to put a McCaffrey one. And I think all I'm going to need is a few of those guys.
You ready for your head to explode?
Yeah.
If that's the case, and I'm not saying you're wrong, because that's as plausible a scenario as any, right? McCaffrey gets the, well, I can't vote him for MVP because I only want to vote quarterback, so here, he's number two.
Right.
If that's the case, the same people who are voting him number two at MVP will vote him number one for Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Did you just bring up a scenario where he could win both? Is that what just happened?
I think so.
And make it sound kind of plausible?
Yeah, because you were absolutely right. I didn't even think about that part, but whoever's putting him second is putting him number one for Offensive Player of the Year.
Good God.
I mean, again, I'm just handicapping what I think voters might do.
This is what could happen when you don't. Because remember, before, I think it was last year was the first year that we did this. Before last year, it was just one dude got one vote, which again is why you always heard that stat from people where they're like, hey, Russell Wilson has never gotten an MVP vote. Well, yeah, right. If they had done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all those years, he would have gotten MVP votes. But because it was one vote for one guy, he never did get that one vote from anybody. Now it's this quirky system where you don't have to get the most first place votes to win it.
All I'm going to bring up is that there's we've seen it in the NBA, the yes. WNBA awards this past year, and we're in the same kind of system now for MVP. And I'm wondering.
You agree with me though that Purdy shouldn't be 12-1, right? Like there's
on that silly.
If that's the case, by the way, I just want to play the other side is if that's the case that this is a market where. Honestly, based on one game's performance, you go from -250 to 12-1, then we're all mashugana for even talking about this. Because then it's just, the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing might be ridiculous to begin
with. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's tight. We're running out of runway in the season. There's going to be a bigger odd shift than there would be earlier in the season, right? But yes, from -250 to 12-1 is good on
the Baltimore Ravens. They are on the cusp of a number one seed. In the AFC, we'll go through all the playoff scenarios a little later on. The Niners still in control of the number one seed in the NFC, it should be noted. Again, remember, only one team, the number one seed, gets a bye.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, let's take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, day after Christmas. By the way, happy Kwanzaa to all who celebrate. Kwanzaa begins today. I did want to mention one thing I forgot at the top. I buried the headline. Still to come on this show, in addition to the guest I mentioned, Greg Jones, one of the four remaining Circa Survivor entrants, those that control the final four entries, he will join us. Will there be a chop? Will there not be a chop? How did he feel when he watched Denver go by the wayside this past Sunday night? Looking forward to that. He, of course, for those who don't know, have you had him on before? Yes, we have. He's the gentleman who made the mistake on Thanksgiving, thought he was taking the Lions, and in fact learned later that he made an error and he took the Packers, and he is still alive now in the Final Four.
Yeah, it was awesome talking to him that first time. Looking forward to that as well.
Everybody had the Eagles yesterday of the Final Four, by the way, so the Christmas quirk is in the rear view. We bring back Drew Dinsick, who's always kind enough to join us for a couple segments on Tuesdays here on the show. And by the way, totally appreciate that, Drew. I don't want to ever take that for granted that you are so generous with your time and your insights. You said something off air that was pretty interesting from a macro level. Care to share? Oh, we lost Drew. Can we get Drew on here? Hold on 1 second, Drew. We need to get your mic back on. Did you mute yourself by any chance?
Oh, I don't think so.
There you go.
You're not intentionally.
Maybe it was us. Maybe it was us. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. This is going to sound like Philly hate dumping on Philly in general, but I get a whiff of the way that sort of the fact that the NFC teams are all kind of fatally flawed right now. Philly probably finds their way into the Super Bowl again. That they got the experience and the coaching advantage. The tush push, I think, is a defining play that might actually kind of tilt the NFC in their favor. And I think they'll probably lose to whoever comes out of the AFC. And I think that could actually set Philly up as being sort of this generation's Buffalo Bills, where they make their way to the Super Bowl year after year after year and can't quite get across the finish line. So that's kind of a macro prediction for you guys as we are here on the eve of the playoffs. And you know this is it wouldn't be the worst, the saddest. I wouldn't be sad, I guess, to see the Eagles lose four straight Super Bowls.
I wouldn't be sad, he says. Yeah, the Vikings were that team of the 70s. The Bills were that team of the 90s. So I guess we skip a few decades forward if that were the case. Drew thinking it might be the Eagles.
I'm just sitting here thinking about what Drew said off the top of, like, we don't know anything. Like, it's December 26th and we don't know. Like, what AFC team's getting there to beat the Eagles? I don't know what AFC team's doing that.
It's a great question. Let's not try to be a prisoner of the moment. Do we remember another year that was this sort of vague this late?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There are parallels for sure to the 2006 year, you know, when you had Tom Brady, who was kind of the only accomplished guy with the Patriots, you know, the only accomplished quarterback, I guess, in the mix. And his Patriots team was just devoid of any talent at the wide receiver position. That's kind of your Mahomes sort of situation this year. And, you know, they ultimately lost, I believe, and they gave up the second half, runaway to the Colts. The Colts then went on to the Super Bowl and beat the Bears. Like that, it was a very bizarre season where you had, kind of a fraudulent Chargers team as your one seed go down to the Patriots. There's definitely been years like that where there's just no super strong team. And 2006 comes to mind for sure. The Ravens Niners Super Bowl year comes to mind for sure.
2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah, and I guess just in general, like you know, we're living in the rearview mirror of the time where you had guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the mix, you know, every single year, and Roethlisberger. There are only like four active quarterbacks right now who have won Super Bowls. One of them is Joe Flacco. One of them is Russell Wilson. Right, like there's Mahomes and there's kind of nobody else really. Stafford. Mahomes, Flacco, and Russell Wilson are the only four quarterbacks that are playing this week that have won Super Bowls before. So, you know, I think in general, the inexperience and the fact that there's really no super teams, is making things interesting. I definitely don't have any read whatsoever on who wins the AFC. It's going to take some lucky bounces. The Bills, who are the sixth seed, are probably as likely as the Chiefs, who were the three seed, or as likely as the Dolphins and the Ravens in the 1 and 2 right now. So,
said Drew that
down the stretch is going to matter a ton. Dude.
You said, Drew, that if the Ravens do get to the promised land, you probably won't be a part of it.
Yeah, I have no Ravens. I'm exposed there. And part of it is I kind of need to see Lamar do it in the playoffs in kind of a high leverage situation. Yeah, I hope he does. I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I've enjoyed this run for the Ravens, and I'd like to see it. But I guess the parallel for the '90s Bills would be if the Ravens make it and beat the Eagles, then they kind of finally get over the hump. The DMV team gets over the hump the way the Redskins did against the Bills. That was the second Bills loss, right? It was to the Redskins.
The second one, yes, of the four Bills losses. Yeah, the last two to the Cowboys, first to the Giants. Yeah. Who could forget, Drew? I was in the house that day, by the way. Week 17. Wow. Can't believe it. Of the National Football League. What have you bet so far, sir?
So my entire prep is completely thrown up in the air, not just because we had three games on Monday, but I missed a ton of the Christmas Eve game. So I got a lot of film to watch. I got a lot of injuries to catch up with. And weirdly, like six markets were down offshore for some reason. So I don't even really know exactly what we're looking at for a couple of these games in terms of, a high liquidity entry on sides. But I did bet into Panthers +7 and Panthers money line +250. That's probably my favorite look of the week. The Jaguars situation right now is so dire. I cannot believe they're laying a touchdown.
Kelly's injuries off air shaking his head because he has Jaguars division tickets. Yeah.
I took a piece of the Panthers +7 yesterday too. I'm like hoping to middle, but like to Drew's point, like like 7 points right now. What?
Yeah. People are kind of locked in that the Panthers are just this train wreck of a team. And the Packers played like a 95th percentile game and won by 3, right? Like this Panthers team actually is coming to their own a bit. And Bryce Young coming off of 2 pretty impressive games, his best game as a pro, honestly, last week against the Packers. And now he gets to take on a fraudulent Jaguars defense. Trevor Lawrence, if you didn't catch, it got hurt again. This time it's a shoulder sprain. So now he's dealing with basically every single possible ailment you can have across the human body, and he's going to try to gut it out and not just win a game against the Panthers team that's peaking and playing for, just literally trying to build a winning culture, find a way to win games. The Jaguars are going into this laying a touchdown is crazy to me. I think this should be more like 3. And I think +250 on the money line was maybe Maybe a little too good to be true, but we'll see. But yeah, +7, probably my favorite look for the Panthers. Other than that, I'm interested in some Colts. I'm interested in some Texans. I like the Texans mostly because the market seems like they're pricing some uncertainty about the availability of CJ Stroud, and I assume he's 100% going. Texans, I think, ought to be closer to 6 there. Maybe some of that uncertainty is also swirling around the Titans' health situation, but I think the Texans bounce back big time this week, and I think the Colts can as well. That leaves an interesting question about who wins the AFC South, because I was all in on Jags preseason, and I am pretty much all out on them right now. So I kind of would like somebody to steal that one, and I would like the Texans-Colts Week 18 game to decide that one.
Yeah, the thing with the Jags, Colts, Texans, all 8-7, but the Jags have all the tiebreakers yeah, in terms of a collective head-to-head. So no matter what, if they finish 10-7, 9-8, or 8-9, they win every tiebreaker no matter what. And again, on paper, and I know you just took Carolina by the points, but in terms of like strength of schedule down the stretch, home Carolina at Tennessee is as easy as it gets in the National Football League. In fact, if I do the whole strength of schedule, they literally have the easiest remaining two games.
Nothing's easy when you're the Jaguars.
Nothing's easy when you're the Jaguars. I know, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out, you know, those are the things in their favor. And yet, it's still very much in doubt. Because if they can't, put it that way. With that on the table, if they can't do this, they don't deserve to do it, right? I mean, it's just
And actually, I think if they finish 8-9, they'll be out because Colts Texans play each other. So even if that ends up as a tie, one of those two will be 8-8-1, right? So it's there's a decent chance that that the Jaguars lose a playoff spot, and I got a little bit of that at 14-1. So maybe I'm talking my book a bit here, but I'm on high.
Yeah, I'm just referring to ties. If there was nobody ahead of them, they win them all. Yeah, obviously, if they there's a scenario where they finish not in first, and that would be the end of that. Drew, appreciate it as always. It is going to be fascinating. And that definitely, I mean, if nothing else, what that did yesterday was cloud it all even further. And so,
no question.
This should be a fascinating, not only end to the season, which we'll get into the playoff scenario a little later on the show, and yes, knows, but certainly the postseason might be as unpredictable as any we can imagine. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it as always, and happy holidays to you, sir.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you guys. Happy New Year to the listeners.
Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. We'll come back with our NFL power rankings. On the other side, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Circa Survivor marches on. 4 entries left. In what started out at with $9,267, all at $1,000 a pop, it's a $9.267 million event contest, if you will, down to 4, which means that the intrinsic value of each, if you chopped them up 4 ways, is $2,316,750. And we are lucky enough to have one of those gentlemen return to the show, one of the 4 remaining entrants. He goes by L.A. Joneser. In terms of his handle, his name is Greg Jones. He joins us from LA right now. Greg, how you doing, man?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going very well. I guess the question for you is, how's it going for you? You good? You happy? You excited?
It really hasn't changed at all because like nothing's set. So it's still, you know, the potential to walk away with zero is just, it's like the same as week one. It's just, you know, on the line now, I guess.
Well, let's get to that here momentarily. Let me start with this past week because I want to give you some credit here for something that you did. There was 10 entries left, and you probably, I think, correctly assumed, as most people did, that most people would take the Denver Broncos, Denver who ends up losing to New England ultimately in Sunday Night Football. You went with the Chicago Bears. Not only did you go with the Bears, who got the job done in their game, but you announced the pick on Twitter. I would imagine that there was some design to that, yes?
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, I wanted to be the only person on Chicago. I kind of have Sean to thank for that because you know, he was clearly saying no chop, no chop, no chop, and I knew he was going to either be on Green Bay or Denver. So I definitely didn't want to be on one of those teams because there was all, you know, there's even extra value being away from whatever he would pick he was going
to
be on.
Yeah, you're referring to Sean Perry, the poker player who said famously he wouldn't chop. He has now gone out of the contest. He did have Denver. But I do think that that's a just sort of crystallizing what we were just talking about. You bring up the fact that, you know, it's one thing to play Chicago as a game theory kind of thing, knowing that most are going to get on Denver and trying to be the one. But by announcing it, what you were trying to do was dissuade anybody else who had that same idea of wanting to be on the Chicago Island. And you ended up, it was you and somebody else in the end. Maybe they're not on Twitter. Maybe they didn't see your tweet, whatever it was. But it ended up you and somebody else on Chicago. But that was what you were getting at, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so I think it's brilliant, by the way. I think it's an interesting way of playing that. So I wanted to give you your props on that. So let's get back to what you said moments ago. So when there were 13 left, you were pro-chop, if I'm not mistaken.
It wasn't necessarily pro-chop. I wasn't going to be the only person who shut it down. And I think like four or five people felt the same way. They're like, all right, well, if everybody else does it, then let me know and we'll do it. It never was like, okay, we have everybody. Sean said no. And then once the stuff with him and the internet stuff came out about the, you know, the fantasy football stuff, then everybody was firmly like, we don't even want to talk about this is still in the, you know, as long as he's still in play. So the idea that he controlled it the whole time and shut it down and was the only, that's not true.
Okay. Now that there are four remaining, and again, $2.3+ million, if you chopped them up four ways in terms of what the theoretical value is anyway, obviously different entries have different components remaining. Are you pro chop or not?
I'm not pro ending it. I don't think any under any circumstances I would say, okay, let's just all chop it up now and be done with it. I would be open to some kind of save situation if the other three guys want to do it again. I just want to be a man of my word and not shut down anything that anybody else wants to do. So I'd be open to talking about that.
A save situation? Clarify that for us. What do you mean a save situation?
Everyone takes $1 million and we play for the rest, or everybody takes $1.5 million and we play for the rest somewhere that's equitable, you know, because some entries have a little bit better chance than other entries based on the teams they have. If we could figure some sort of formula out, like maybe use the unabated formula or something like that, I'd be open to a save situation, but I definitely want to play it out.
Okay. You do want, okay. So you would be open to that, which is what the final three did last year, which is I think they guaranteed themselves roughly $1 million each or something like that. And they played for the rest of it in the final 2 weeks. So you would be open to that. Am I hearing then that you believe that your entry does have a advantage of some sort over the other three?
Not just going off the unabated, you know, they put the EV for each entry, and I think I was second, a little bit above what, you know, and also you got to factor in, I live in California and we get slaughtered in taxes. So that's, you know, that's something you have to consider too.
The taxes are definitely interesting in this mix. So let me ask you this. So if the other three guys came to you, maybe it's girls, but if the other three entrants came to you and said, all right, we appreciate that you want to do that, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to live through this anymore. We just want to chop. Would you be open to an equal chop?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, I'd have to talk to my wife, obviously, because she runs the show. But okay. I think everybody still wants to play a little bit, which is good. You know, there's something about winning the $9 million and then having Derek have to put me on the gambling Hall of Fame wall if we got in the Guinness Book of World Records or something like that. But
No, I understand. I understand that. It's interesting to me because, okay, so if you said you probably wouldn't want an equal chop. I just want to play this out a little bit, though. You know, because one of the things that Sean Perry, the poker player, who, you know, he was quoted as saying that when it was 10 and it was roughly $1 million each, I can't remember if it was 13 or it was 10, I think it was 10, and it would have roughly been $1 million each. He was like, I'll take $2 million and everybody else can chop up the rest. I'd be open to that. And I don't have to be a walking unabated, right, or an embodiment of a model to know that no remaining entry is worth that much more than the others. That would be more than two times at that point. would there be a number? Like, what do you like? And I know you don't want to do this, but to me, is there a number you would take that is incrementally above the 2.3 that you would be willing to chop right now?
If the guys wanted to do something like that where it's close to that, I think they all prefer to play a little. I think a little over the 1.5 and play for whatever three is, you know, is something I'd be into if they wanted to play for, you know, if they wanted just to end it and I guess and figure that out too. I listen to everything. I'm not going to be the guy to kill everything, but I definitely want to keep playing.
Yeah, because one of the things that struck me about Sean, and for all the brash tone and all that, was if he had said instead of 2 million, if he had said when it was all worth a million, if he had said, oh, you know, give me 1.4 and 1.3 and the rest of you can chop up the rest, I think everybody else would have thought of him differently, and I think he would have come out sounding like a pretty good negotiator, right? And it would have been like, oh, that was pretty smart of him, and then he's not such a bad guy. But it was the notion that he thought his was so much more, you know, valuable than everybody else's. But it's interesting that, okay, so you're open to all outcomes.
I don't feel that way, and I'm not asking for anything even close to remotely more than anybody else.
But you prefer to come to an agreement and play for the rest, like they did last year. Okay, you mentioned taxes. Now, Greg, you tell me if I'm overstepping. You're way closer to the finish than I was even from the start, right? So, I mean, I can't give you advice on Survivor. But in terms of the money itself, and you mentioned taxes, has part of this calculus, this is just sort of my spider senses tingling on this, and you tell me if I'm off base, is part of this calculus for you that you have hedged in a manner thus far that when you let's just take 2.3, the four-way chop, and the even four-way chop, let's take 2.3 as a start, that whatever you've hedged so far plus the taxes, that doesn't become nearly as fun of an outcome for you now as if you could get the majority of that 9.2 and then you could sort of feel good about your hedges and the taxes. Is it that simple?
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, I have 30% out, about 30% out, and then taxes is going to be another almost 40%. So, you know, I mean, I hope my wife's not listening, but if you're talking about breaking down $1 million and it ends up like 350,000, that's, you know what I mean? I'd like to, you know, make it end up something a little bit more than that.
Boy, this sounds more stressful than the contest itself.
You have no idea.
Oh, dude, no, I do. I think I do. If I'm putting the numbers in my head together, I do. And so that begs the question at the end, and we only have 45 seconds left. After all of this, no matter the outcome now, win, lose, how much you win, do you think you'd want to play this again now that you've sort of...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I hope I'm coming back to defend. That's...
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Because I wonder, just living through you and living with the stress of it, I think if I did it once, I'd almost be like, I don't want to do this again.
No.
Okay. Listen, Greg, appreciate it so much. We wish you luck. We're going to wish Circus Master Indiana Jet and Jax Jags luck as well. But you've been kind enough to come on the show. And Mazel Tov, man. May it all work out to your satisfaction.
All right, guys. Hopefully we're talking again one more time.
I hope so. Greg Jones, everybody, one of the four remaining Circa Survivor entrants, playing for a $9.267 million pot.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Phil Weiss is going to fade Pete Futek. He's going to put he's on Washington, not Texas, in the National Invitational semifinals. Scott, New York Mets 16. Gil, wasn't there an ESPN voter who called/texted another voter about what they were leaning to vote? I do not remember the sport. I don't remember that, but maybe so. And Scott goes on to ask, Didn't L.A. Joneser, Greg Jones from our last segment, sell off part of his entry for collateral for hedging purposes? This would make his chop decision a little more difficult. First of all, thank you to Greg Jones for coming on the show again. Greg, famously, the gentleman who made the mistake on Thanksgiving, thought he was picking Detroit, only to find out from his proxy a few days later, hey, what are you picking next? He's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, Green Bay. So he is here. His mom had passed away. Who knows, again, if you're spiritual, if she's pulling the strings from another world.
Just a wild story. That was the misclick was when he was in town, right?
Correct.
And he was doing it himself for the only week he was doing
himself. That is my understanding. Yes.
It is wild. That is wild.
And so now we're down to four. And he says that he is open to a chop and then playing for the rest, like they did last year, and that sounds reasonable. But, you know, it's amazing. You got to live through this every week. So once you now secure money, that would be, he'd be open to it. He doesn't want to be the guy who says no to that. But I think the more interesting part, for those of us who dream of being in his situation one day, is that once you get to this point, the financial aspect of this could be more stressful than the actual game you choose choose. And if you don't manage it, if it gets away from you, if you hedge too early, what New York Mets just said is correct. He did sell off the perfect hedge, as Joe Pita said. The perfect hedge is when you sell off portion of your entry, and then you use those to hedge. But even in doing so, right, while you're losing equity in your entry from selling off parts of it, you're using that to hedge. And if you lose enough of your hedges for too much money, and then you have taxes, and I'm not saying this is Greg's situation. I'm just, in my head, my spider senses are tingling.
The taxes are right? Brutal.
So if you, and again, I'll just say it again. If you have, if 2.3, let's just break them out evenly. If 2.3 million is what the intrinsic value is right now, if they were all equal, let's say you hedge it. I have no idea what he's hedged, but let's say it's a few $100,000, right? And then you've got California taxes. You've come to the final four of this $9.267 million contest, and you will end up with less than $1 million. Does your brain do funny things and toggle into an area where you're like, well, that's just not enough? And maybe, by the way, maybe it's because the hedging thing got away from you, or maybe you just didn't anticipate this, and then your brain gets to, well, now I've got to win most of the 9.267 to make this really feel like it was a win. I don't know. It's just fascinating to live through these guys.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I mean, it's fascinating to live through them because we're not in that situation. I would hope
we
to be
not.
One day. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's – but it's part of the reason, too, of – it's part of the reason why we had Joe Pita on, right? We talked to him. It is interesting to know how it's easy to say, oh, hey, I would hedge here, or I would chop at this point or whatever, right? But it's really so – when did we have Joe on for the first time talking about the hedging strategy? 2 weeks ago?
Had him on for years talking
about it. No, I know, but like this year, right? Yeah. That was kind of like two weeks ago we started that.
Yeah.
So you're planning out, 5 weeks worth of the contest, right? And it really is – long-term planning of exactly what you would need to do week to week,
and
that's just to handle your own.
I really meant what I asked at the end. Like, would you do this again? Like, I'm serious. Like, for some people, it might be too stressful. And we don't know. Like, one of these guys who's remaining might just be like, I just want this to end.
Right, yeah. I mean, I was dying on the inside when he was just bringing up the tax dollar amount. So, yeah, my instant reaction would be, yeah, I'm playing again. I'll be playing again either living in Nevada, Florida, Montana, you know,
Who doesn't have to worry about these financial matters? This guy right here. Christmas Miracle Parlay.
This is incredible.
Some dude put $5 down on this 14-leg parlay of touchdowns, payout from that $5, $489,383. He needed all of these guys to get a touchdown this week in the NFL, and he had the biggest favorite as the last one, Christian McCaffrey. How many times have you had a parlay, Kelly, in your life where all you needed was the biggest favorite on the, of them to get home, and yeah, it doesn't get
that's
home?
That's right.
McCaffrey gets home, and he wins nearly a half a million.
You know what? I would love to actually know that number. I would love to know the number in my lifetime of where that has happened.
You know what,
I wonder if he was racing to find a circa, we get some nice yes-no options on things sometimes. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many books out east are doing yes-no options. You'd be racing to find that.
And a dude like this,
yesterday.
Do you think a dude who's making a $5 bet on this thinks about stuff like that? I don't know.
Probably not.
My reaction to this is, if I win this, like, and he had to have a moment afterwards. He was like, why didn't I bet 10? Why did I only bet 5?
Sure, but we all think that no matter what the bet, right?
10. That's... 5 more dollars. And I mean dollars literally.
But this goes back to the Darren Rovell thing, right?
Yeah.
Like this, like you said, this guy's probably not thinking about hedges. It's a $5 bet. He doesn't care if he wins or loses.
Darren Rovell taking all that incoming at Bet Bash, and I'm like, no, he's right. He's right.
Yeah.
These guys don't care about what we
he wasn't gonna care if he lost the $5, but he might have cared if he lost the 10. That's the problem, Kill. I don't really know.
God bless, I lost 10 bucks on this. Yeah, you're right, maybe.
What was
the longest shot on there? The plus 235 on Chris Rodriguez Jr. of the Skins, baby.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Did you have anything else to say about the yes-no playoffs? Because I just mentioned that thing about the Steelers. By the way, I just want to say this. I did not bet that Steelers thing plus 475. Kelly's right. The number is not nearly the bang for your buck that you want. I just brought it up because of the quirk that the Ravens might not have anything to play for in Week 18. Was there another yes-no that you liked in that?
You know, I think right now, I don't know that I'd be venturing to make any bets there. I mean, especially the one
so many teams alive still.
There really is. And the one that's tricky with the AFC, at least, right? Like, I think I've said this the past couple times we've talked about it, I'd still be leaning no on the Colts, but we don't have a Texans price up currently because of Stroud. And I think Drew talked about that when he was on of kind of liking, you know, kind of assuming that Stroud's going to be back this week, which I think is a fair assumption.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Indianapolis has two home games to close it out, home Raiders, home Texans.
Yeah. But, you know, if Stroud's back at that by that point, you know, you're talking about that. I would like to see a price on them first. That AFC is so jumbled. Like, you can't – there's not much there. We talked about the Bills a couple weeks ago, liking that one. And the NFC, I think the NFC is probably set. I don't know if that's changing.
Yeah, except for it could wildly in, like, the NFC South, right? I don't know. It's just –
yeah, except for that division. Yeah.
And then even a team like the Rams, which looks like they're sitting pretty right now, all they have to do is lay one egg, and then that changes dramatically. So it's 2 weeks out. We're still so unclear on a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of confident in the Rams.
I am too.
They're a team I don't like you want to face right now. That offense is.
Easiest remaining schedule of all the playoff teams, Jacksonville, as we talked about earlier, home Carolina at Tennessee. They win all tiebreakers in the AFC South. The most difficult schedule of the playoff teams that are vying is Pittsburgh, but I mentioned that Baltimore might not have anything to play for, so that goes by the wayside. Cincinnati is the other team that's really behind the eight ball. They got to play the Browns and the Chiefs the rest of the way home. So, yeah, I'm not racing to bet that market. I will tell you what I have already bet for Week 17. If you missed Guessing Lines yesterday, and by the way, Christmas morning, you didn't have anything better to do than tune in and listen to Guessing Lines? We were at Circa, for God's sakes. Playing. Here's what I bet so far.
I feel like we got a lot more interaction yesterday on the show, by the way, than we have today.
Oh, people are done. I already have the Seahawks -3 hosting the Steelers, so that's why I didn't race to bet the Steelers, because I can't get there with the Steelers this week. I bought that down from 3.5, by the way, to bet the Seahawks at -3. I thought the most glaring line yesterday was Buccaneers were -3 hosting the Saints. I took the Bucs. I took the Cardinals plus the 11 against the Eagles. I think that's way too many points. And I did take the Ravens this morning. hosting the Dolphins. I did not get three, by the way. I got four.
I
took the four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Ravens three, but that we talked about, that's moved. I did take some of the Panthers plus seven. I hope the Jags win. I hope I lose that bet. But like having the seven, there's a middle opportunity there for me, too. Seahawks three, we talked about that. And then I did lay 6.5 with the Browns.
All right. Thank you to all our guests, Greg Jones included. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.